I want to tell you, it's great to see all of you here this morning. I really appreciate you taking time to join us. Maybe it's your first time. Maybe it's your first time in a long time. Maybe this is your regular place. Well, I'm glad you're here with us this morning. And this morning is kind of a special day. We don't do this very often, but we're going to share the Lord's Supper. And I'm going to be talking about that as I share the message with you, kind of how we do it and how we walk through the time as we share the Lord's Supper. And so we'll kind of go into that. But this morning, I just want to say this. Forget you. Is that okay if I just forget you? Yeah. My message this morning is, have you ever had somebody that was all about themselves? You met them, you start talking with them, and all they talked about was them. What's going on in their life, where they've been, what's happening, all about them. And you're kind of sitting there going, forget you. Yeah. Or maybe you're hanging out with somebody. Maybe you're running around with somebody. You went out for dinner or you're hanging around with somebody. And they start talking about doing something crazy. You know, and you're sitting there and it's like, I don't think I will. Forget you. Just take me home. Anybody ever do anything like that? I want to talk about forget you this morning, but not about forgetting them. I want to talk about you looking in the mirror and saying, forget you. You know, we live in a society. Now, I grew up, and my generation is called the me. Oh, you guys know, I'm the me generation. I heard somebody pop that off. I'm the me generation. Well, I got to tell you something. I think I got some competition for the me generation today. All right? Let me say three words, and you tell me what you think about these three words. All right? That describe our culture today. Facebook. What is Facebook? Whose picture is on Facebook? What's the story on Facebook? Who's Facebook all about? Anybody? It's about me, right? You know? How about selfie? I'm the me generation, but now we have selfies. It's in the picture. Now, here's the big thing. Who's taking the picture? All right. I go to Disneyland, and I was just with, where was I at? I was out somewhere just this last week, and somebody was taking a picture. I said, you want me to take the picture for you? No, we got it. You know, not only are you taking a picture of yourself, but you're taking the picture. You know, it is about me. How about Twitter? Did I get it right this time? All right, Twitter. What about Twitter? What's Twitter all about? Yeah. You know, they call me the me generation. They call my generation the me generation. I want to tell you something. I think today's generation is more of the me generation. But what I want to talk about this morning is we come to the Lord's table, as we come time to spend with God, sometimes we got to say, forget you, by looking in the mirror. We got to pause and look at ourselves. There's a guy in the Bible. I like this quote. Listen to what this gentleman says. Now he's referring to Jesus. He, Jesus, must become greater. I, John the Baptist, must become less. He's saying, listen, here's this world I'm in. Here's this ministry I'm involved in. Here's this opportunity I have. But it's not about me. I've got to become less. And he's come more. I think that's a challenge for our society, because I don't know about you, but second place for me is first loser. Anybody? You know, I like that. I was watching some race show, and they were talking about first loser. You know, we like accolades. We like being there. And I want to challenge us. And I think a good way to start this morning is I kind of want to tell you a story about a guy named John the Baptist. Said that quote. He's got to become greater, I got to become less. John the Baptist was born to Zechariah and Elizabeth. He's got a really interesting story. Zechariah and Elizabeth were rather elderly in their age, mature in their age. They had no children. And on one event, Zechariah is taking care of the church, the temple of his day. He was working in the temple that day. And an angel shows up and says, Zechariah, you're going to have a child. Kind of like, You know, and he kind of had this conversation with God. And kind of doubted a little bit, and God says, well, you know, listen, you know, I'm just going to shut your mouth for a while. And so he couldn't talk until his son was born. Yeah. And so sure enough, Elizabeth becomes pregnant. And most of the time you hear about John the Baptist because it's Christmas time. Because, you know, he's tied in when Elizabeth is a relative of Mary, the mother of Jesus, because John the Baptist is a cousin to Jesus. When Mary finds out she's pregnant, the angel told Mary, hey, your relative, Elizabeth, is pregnant. Go talk to her. So she goes and spends some time with Elizabeth. It's really interesting. You read the story there. You can read that. I think it's a book of Luke. The first chapter has the story of how this transpired in the first two chapters of the book of Luke. And so when Mary arrives, it says that the baby jumped inside of Mary because he kind of heard kind of a transfer of life and that God knew and they knew what was going on. And then, just so you know, just like Jesus, we know nothing about John the Baptist's childhood. We don't know where he went. We don't know where he grew up. We don't know anything about his childhood. All of a sudden, the next thing we know, John the Baptist is over at the River Jordan baptizing people. He's all dressed snazzy. You know, he's all clad up in his snazzy clothes, eating great food. I don't know about you, just if you don't know the story. Wasn't he wearing camel's hair and eating locusts? Anybody want to eat a locust? I got a grasshopper. You know, I got grasshoppers up here for the Lord's Supper today. Who's going to come up and have the Lord's Supper with me? You know, chocolate-covered grass. I mean, he's very unique individual. But he's fulfilling a promise of the Old Testament. Here's how Mark says it in his book. This is the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as the prophet Isaiah wrote. I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. This is his voice of one who calls out in the desert. Prepare the way of the Lord, make the road straight for him. See, this is John the Baptist's ministry. He's living out in the desert. He's living out in the wilderness on the other side of the Jordan River. He's dwelling out there. He's not the only one out there. Anybody familiar with the Dead Sea Scrolls? Anybody ever hear anything about the Dead Sea Scrolls? These old documents on the Old Testament? Just so you know, all the books of the Old Testament except one is in the Dead Sea Scrolls. These are books written 300 years before Jesus, just so you know. I've got a chance to see them when I'm in San Diego. They had them on display at the San Diego Museum. I got a chance to see these Dead Sea Scrolls. And the only book missing is Esther, if you want to know. And they got many copies of the book of Isaiah. This quote I just read is from the book of Isaiah, and it's got many copies of it. But it's saying there's going to be one who prepares the way. He's coming from the desert. They're painting a picture of one like Elijah, one from the wilderness, one with the message of God preparing the way. And so we're just kind of following this story. And John begins to build a quite large entourage. He begins a quite large audience starts surrounding him. Many people are following him. Many people see him as a prophet of God. And they don't understand all the implication, and neither does John the Baptist understand all the implication of what's going on. But he's got this large following. He's built this large ministry. He's become very popular. Here's what Jesus had to say. One day, some people were trying to trap Jesus. And this is what it says. And some of the rulers kind of didn't want to think that John the Baptist was from God. But here's what it says. Jesus replied, I will ask you one question. Answer me, and I will tell you about what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, was it from heaven, or is it human again? Origin. Tell me. They discussed among themselves and said, if we say from heaven, he will ask, then why don't you believe him? But we say a human origin, they feared the people, for everyone held that John really was a prophet. Here's a guy who's very popular, a guy who's built a wonderful ministry. He's working the Jordan River, baptizing. His message is a very simple message. God is coming. God is here. God is going to visit us. You got to get ready. You can't live the way you're living. You can't do the things you're doing and expect to walk into a relationship with God. He's preaching a message of get your life ready to meet God. And that's what John the Baptist is preaching. And people are coming. They're responding to that message. Large crowds are gathering at the Jordan River. And as a picture of that belief, as a picture of that, they're saying, I'm doing away with my old life. I'm going to live a new kind of life. They're getting baptized to paint that picture. And so John the Baptist begins to make this large impact. And everyone is believing that there's something special going on with John the Baptist. There's something special about John the Baptist. And these large crowds are following him. And he's preaching this message. Well, it gets him in trouble. All right. He's preaching this message, and the king is named Herod at the time, or kind of the Roman assignment that's ruling in that area of Jerusalem, is named Herod. And he takes his wife from his brother. It's kind of a convoluted situation. And John the Baptist tells him, you're living in sin. She ain't your wife. You need to get things straight. Well, he didn't like that. Now, she really didn't like it. You know, she really gets upset about it. And so he's kind of upset. They're all kind of upset at what's going on. And the story's traveling around. Now, all these people are believing him. And then Jesus walks up to the Jordan River to get baptized. And John goes, I can't baptize you. You know, you need to be baptizing me. And Jesus goes, no, I've got to do this because this is how God has outlined it. I'm going to set the example of what it means to follow God. And so Jesus gets baptized by John the Baptist. And shortly after that, John the Baptist gets arrested. All right? John the Baptist gets arrested because Herod and Herodias, what a name, you know? And she gets a little ticked off, and so she's ticked off, so Herod gives in to his wife and arrests him. All right? So now he's sitting in jail. And as he's sitting in jail, he's not quite sure what's going on. He still doesn't understand the story. He just knows he's prepared. He believes Jesus, the Christ, the one that he baptized, is the Son of God, but he's not sure. He's sitting in jail, and his followers are still coming to visit him, and they're wrestling with what to do. And he goes, well, listen, you need to go ask Jesus if he's the real thing. You need to go talk to Jesus. So he sends some of his followers to talk to Jesus. And so they go and they start talking with Jesus and said, are you the Messiah? Are you the one who is to come? Are you the one sent by God to deliver the people from sin? And Jesus responds real simply, like, well, the blind are seeing, the lame are walking. And he goes down all the miracles he's doing, and he's describing Jesus' ministry. And so they go back and tell John the Baptist, yes, he's the Christ, he's the Messiah, he's the soon-to-be Savior of the world. And they go back and tell John the Baptist. So John's sitting in jail, waiting there, his ministry there, and Herodias' daughter does a dance at a party the king threw, that Herod threw. And she danced really, really well. So Herod sits there and says, listen, I'll give you whatever you want. You did a super job. You asked for anything, I'll give it to you. Now he's assuming she's going to ask for, like most of us, money, right? You know, give me money, property. You know, I'll take the palace on the left. You know, I'm kind of, you know. But no, so she goes and talks to her mom. I don't know about you. I don't know any young lady. Now, maybe if a woman, you know, if you break up with a girl wrong, maybe you might like this. You guys, you better listen to this, you know. Because, you know, if you break up with a girl, you know, you text her, we're done. Her dad could say, hey, I'm the Herod. Give me your head. Because mom says, hey, go back there and say you want the head of John the Baptist. So John the Baptist lost his head. He died. But what's interesting about John the Baptist, nowhere do we see John the Baptist self-promoting himself. Nowhere do we see John the Baptist making a name for himself. He had an entourage. He had people following. I'm going to tell you, my resume, if I baptized Jesus, guess what would be on my resume? I baptized God's son. Yeah. You know, you need none of that with John the Baptist. You know, you don't see. What you see is what it says here. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. That's all he did. He wasn't making a name for himself. It wasn't, look at me, look at my entourage, look at all the people I got to live. Here's all the people I baptized. And look, at the top of the list, I got Jesus. I baptized Jesus. You don't see John the Baptist doing anything like that. John the Baptist was willing to be king. John the Baptist was willing to play second role. He's willing to take the second seat. Most of us want the first seat. And it's in that context that he said this word. It's going to be there again. He must become greater, he being Jesus, and I must become less. He realized where he is. And that's what I want us to think about this morning when we come to the Lord's table. I got news for you. Life is not you. Now, how many of us have ever said to our children, some of you've got children, right? Anybody here got children? How many ever tell you your children, life is not fair? Anybody ever say that to your children? You know, I got one. You guys, am I the only one? I got one other. There's two of us. Okay, there's three. Maybe you're a kid. Has your mom ever told you that? Yeah, now I got all the hands go up. You know? Life's not fair, but I got something else for you. Now, we're older. I'm going to tell the older ones, life's not about you. Life's not about us. I'm enjoying, I'm messing with my genealogy. I'm having fun looking at my heritage and tracing the name Dew and tracing us back. You know, we were in America in the 1600s, okay? He was president of the House of Burgesses in Virginia. He ran around with Bennett, who was the governor of Virginia, the colony. I'm doing all this genealogy stuff and kind of looking at the family. Does anybody know his name? See, I got news for you. You might make a name for yourself now, but sooner or later, ain't nobody going to know you. You know? Like I say all the time, I've been on the school board all these years. You go over to Dina Bohr School over here or Salida Middle School over here, and you'll see my name on the plaque. School board members, Gary Dew. I love it because those over there, you know anybody on that list? They're going to go, no. They have no idea who that list is. You know? See, I want to tell you, we like this. So I wrote it this way. If you look at your outline, we've got to become less. We've got to really, we come to the table. It's not about us. Look at my accomplishments. Look at what I did. And so I put it this way. I lose my focus. I got to take the focus off myself. It's not about me. Now, I want to tell you, says church, my name's on the school at Dina Bohr over there and the Slide of Middle School over here, but I'm going to tell you what, look around this place. You ain't going to see my name anywhere. I don't even want my name on the sign in the front of the church. Because one of these days, I'm going to be dead and gone and scattered on the yard out front. All right, that's where my name is. You know, you're going to walk on me coming in if you plant on the planter box. You know, Brenda, when you start doing the flowers out there, guess what? You're going to have to walk over. Brenda takes care of all the yard work out there, keeping it all trimmed for us. You know, I won't haunt you, don't worry. You know, but we think we're somebody. But we got to take the focus off of ourselves. We got to move beyond ourselves. If you look at the Hebrew word there, I put it the book of Hebrews, it says this. We must focus on Jesus, the source and goal of our faith. And that's not easy. We hear talk today, and how many of us would like to have that 15 minutes of... See, you guys know what I was talking. I didn't have to finish it. We all want 15 minutes of fame. I'm going to tell you, I do not want my name in the newspaper. I've had my name in the newspaper, and it's not always nice, okay? You need to know that. My name has been in the newspaper, and it's not always nice. I've sat on school board members, and people call me names as they walk up, and it's not been nice. But we like those accolades. We like the pat on the back. It feels good. It makes me feel like somebody. You know, look at me. Look at what I've done. You know, we get caught up in all of this, and we like that recognition, and we get into it. Now, some of you, Facebook. Let's go back to Facebook. You know, how many followers do you have? How many likes did you get on that last post? You know? Nobody ever liked that. I pull up Facebook, you know, and it's like, you were on, somebody posted something, they liked it. You know? Or, you know, just so you know, my thing on Facebook is I'm going to pray for you, okay? Somebody will post something and I'm going to go, I'm praying. Or I'll say I like. Just so you know, I will never tell you. I'll give you a hint. When you change your photo on Facebook, you know, you change that image on there, I never tell you I like that, okay? You know, I don't know if it looks good or what you call it. It's yours. You know? But I'll tell you, I'm praying for you. You know, how about Twitter? How many retweets did you get? Anybody? You know, we live life and we want to make it about ourselves. It's about me. And what I want to challenge you with is sometimes we got to lose our lives. We got to lose that focus on us. Because I'm going to tell you, life's not about us. It doesn't work that way. It's not quite that simple. And I'm going to tell you, if you lose the focus on yourself, I'm going to tell you, you will see, instead of opposition, you'll see opportunities. Instead of hurts and pains, you can see joys. You see some opportunities, you'll see hope and not despair. You'll see love and not hate. When you get the focus off yourself, you can see things differently. And that's what I want to do this morning. We're going to share the Lord's Supper. We have unleavened bread here, and we have grape juice here. And I want our focus this morning to be on the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Life is not about us. It's about what God has done for us, and what God wants to do through us, and what God wants to do in us. But for that to happen, we got to get the focus off of us. And I want to encourage us there. See, John the Baptist was willing to play second role. I mean, can you imagine? I lost my ministry to Jesus. You know, think about that. I mean, that's what he did. I built this great ministry. I built this great opportunities here. I led all these people. I baptized all these people. And Jesus come along and stole them. Do we ever feel? See, I want to challenge us. Get our focus off of you. And this morning, we're going to share the Lord's Supper. I want you to focus on Jesus. I want us to spend this time and lose our focus on us and focus on him. He died for us. He entered his life. When they challenged him to come down from the cross, if you're familiar with the Easter story, guess what? He could have came down, but he didn't, because he died for us. And we celebrate that, because that wasn't the end. He rose from the grave, and he's coming back again. He told us to do this in remembrance of him. And so we're going to focus on him this morning. But not only do we need to change our focus, we need to lose our focus. Now, this one's a little harder for me. You need to lose your stuff. Anybody got stuff? Anybody? I got a lot of stuff. I got so much stuff, I can't park my car in the garage. Anybody else? Yeah? And you know what? I'm still collecting stuff. I got boxes of stuff I haven't even seen. How many move and you don't even open some boxes? You got boxes you've never opened and you moved 20 years ago. Yeah. Yeah. We like collecting stuff. We like having stuff. The problem is too often our stuff, instead of us owning it, it owns us. And the scripture I chose for this says this: whoever loves money never has enough. Anybody recognize that one? I was sharing with somebody this morning. Laura and I first got married back in the 70s. That first year of marriage, we made $5,000. That was, man, we had money. You know, some of you know what I'm talking about. You know, $5,000, that was our year income. You know, some of you make that in a month nowadays. You know, but never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. There's always something new, something bigger, always something better. If you don't believe me, just look at the smartphones. Every year there's a new one. Every year there's a new phone. Now, I'm not going to fall. I don't know who buys phones, and I don't get into it. I just bought me a new one, but I didn't buy the top tier. I ain't going to pay $700 for a phone. Now, some of you can justify that, and that's great. I'm glad. You know, but that's just not me. But I mean, every year there's a new phone. What is it? It's 8 now? 10-year anniversary for iPhone? This is 10-year anniversary? But they're not the only one. You know, I love Samsung had 7 that blew up. So now you got Samsung 8. You know? So, you know, it's just, you know, now I'm into computers. You know, I like this Surface out now. Microsoft's got this Surface computer out, you know. Now you got Generation 1 Surface, then you got Surface 2, and then you got Surface 4, and now you got Surface Pro, and now they have one just called Surface, which is the new Surface, and it's just Surface. You know? It's always new and bigger and better. You know, the new car. I didn't know this. I was talking about new cars with somebody the other day. I didn't know you can buy new car smell. I'm going to get that and just spray it in my car. You know? Man, your car smells new. Yeah, it is. Yeah. But we all want, you know, it's always out there. There's always more. Look at what it says. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Can stuff become a god? You know, can we lose ourselves stuff and accumulating more stuff and being a part of that stuff? How many times have you gone to Costco? I like beating up on Costco. How many times you've gone to Costco and you found things you didn't even know you needed? Anybody? You know, you didn't know you needed it until you got there. You know, and then when you get there, you're just like, I got to have that. That's how we live our life. We need to step back and lose our focus stuff and recognize Jesus. See, you're not going to take it with you. I should have saved that picture. This week I seen a picture. Some guy said, you always heard you never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul. Well, the guy had a picture of a hearse pulling a U-Haul. I guess I should have saved that picture. Yeah. You know, this stuff. Like I said, I got boxes of stuff in my garage. I don't know what I'm going to do. I was just sitting there as I was writing the message. You know what? I got boxes. Just so you know, I got boxes of stuffed Mickey Mouse's. Anybody else? You know, I got stuff, Mickey. I got a Christmas Mickey Mouse. You know? I got a Halloween Mickey Mouse with his little vest on, looks like Dracula. What am I going to do with all that stuff? It's like, I need to have a garage sale so somebody else can collect my stuff. You know, I got three sets of golf clubs. Anybody else? You know, somebody gave me their golf clubs. All right, you know, stuff. We got to lose our focus on our stuff. Now, you're going to sit here and say, that's okay. I don't worry about stuff. Let's go back to Costco. You park your car. You get out of your car. You start walking to Costco, and you watch some guy park his car, throws open his door, and bang, hits the car next to him. You look at that, and you go, oh, man, that's bad. You turn around, and some guy does that to your car. And you're going to go back, you're crazy. What are you doing? That's my car. Now, it's somebody else's car. It's okay. But when it's your car, that dude's crazy. We get into our stuff. So I want to tell you this morning, as we come to the Lord, say, put your stuff aside. Don't think about your stuff. You know what some of your stuff might be right now? Where are we going for lunch? Anybody have that stuff going on? That stuff. You know, what are we going to have for lunch? I'll tell you. I'll make it real simple. I'll solve them for you. Go to Taco Bell. Makes it really easy. All right? I like Taco Bell. And ask me to join you. I'll do it. If I can bring my grandkid with me and we'll go have Taco Bell. Is that all right? Ooh. But we like stuff. We're at the Lord's table. Put your stuff aside. I don't know. What are you thinking about this morning? What stuff's on your mind this morning? What stuff is bothering you this morning? Kind of push it aside because you're at the Lord's table. You're in the Lord's house. You're in the presence of God. We want to focus on Him today. We want to push our stuff aside. Sound okay? Last one note, if you're looking at your note, I put it this way. We got to lose my life. I got to lose my life. Jesus lost his life for this. He lost his life for your salvation and mine. He gave his life on the cross that you and I could gather in this place and celebrate his resurrection, because that wasn't the end. You know, I got good news for you. Let me give you some good news this morning. You know, well, here's the bad news. You're going to die. The good news is, when you know Jesus Christ, you get to go to heaven. All right? Yep. That's what this is about. But to do that, you got to lose your life. It's not about me. It's not about It's about him. I say it this way every week, whether you realize it or not. Some of you have heard this many, many times. And you're going to hear it. As long as you come here, you're going to hear me say this every Sunday. The goal is to say this every Sunday. You understand? Every Sunday. This is what it means to be a Christian. You guys know where I'm going, right? You got to reach a point in your life where you said something like this: God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them your way. Come into my life and take control. That's what losing your life is all about. Anybody on board with that one? God, I'm tired about doing things my way. I'm going to tell you, most of the time when I do life my way, I do stupid stuff. I've made some dumb decisions. I've did some things that I have regrets over. I mean, you know, it's Gary. And Gary has, you know, some of these old sayings. I look at the new generation, they don't get this. Anybody remember a saying, out of the frying pan, into the fire? They're going, I have no idea what you're talking about. Anybody ever go camping? You know, you're cooking, and I jump out of the frying pan into the fire all the time. Nobody needs to push me. You know, I'm dumb enough to do it. I lose myself. I got to lose my life. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them your way. Come into my life and take control. That's what this Lord's Supper is about. See, God invites everyone who's made that decision to his table. You cross that invisible line, that there's a line in the ground here. There's a line in front of every one of you. And that line says, do I believe in Jesus Christ? Am I happy with my life? Am I satisfied with my life? Am I where God wants me to be? And if you're sitting there saying no, and right in front of you, you got to make a decision about it. And that decision is, am I going to lose my life? God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come to my life and take control. That's what it means to be a Christian. Oh, it's not, well, I shook the preacher's hand. Well, I'm trying to be a good person. I'm working hard at being good. I don't cuss, I don't drink, and I don't go with girls who do. Anybody remember that one? You know? That's not going to save you. That's not why you come to the Lord's table. It's the grace of God that gives it to us. And his this table for us. His grace set the table. Because I got to lose my life. God, it's not what I want. I was sharing with somebody yesterday. I'm having a great life. I'm serious. I still make mistakes. Some of you have been with me, and you know them. You know, I still mess up. But you know what? I'm in with God. I'm going to do dumb things, and I'm going to mess up, but I'm going to hang close to him. Because here's my picture. I don't know about you, but here's my picture. One day I'm going to be standing in heaven. I kind of see the courtroom scene. I had to do this once, all right? I had to be in the courtroom one time. I'm not going to go into that one. You don't want to know. But I'm standing there, you know, how do you plead? You know, they give you all these things. You can plead guilty, not guilty. You can plead guilty with an explanation, no contest. Had all these things. But I either thought you're either guilty or you're not. I don't, you know, but they had like 7 or 8 things you could plead. And I see this picture for me, that I'm standing before God. And God is saying, why should I let you into my heaven? And I'm going to go, Jesus, get up. You got to talk to him. Because I have nothing to give. But I gave my life to Jesus. See, and that sets the table. See, we come to the table because of Jesus. So that's what I want to ask you this morning. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper this morning. I want to ask you, what are you focused on right now? What's your focus? Have you lost your stuff? Is your mind on all the stuff going on in your life? Stuff at work tomorrow? Stuff with the kids? What about your life? Have you crossed an invisible line? That's what gets you a seat at the table. See, I invite everybody who's a believer to come to the table. If you cross that line, if you accepted Jesus Christ, as Jesus Christ is in your life, then you come to the table. It's set for you. He paid the price. So I'm going to ask you this morning as we come to the Lord's table. Will you forget you? Because here's what I want to tell you. God hasn't forgot you. Look at your little outline there. God hasn't forgot you. You don't have to worry about you. God's got you. Doesn't that sound nice? God's got you. He knows your hurts. He knows your wounds. He knows your joys. He knows your sorrows. He knows your pains. He knows. He knows. See, so you can forget about it. You can forget about it. And trust God. I like the scripture. Can a mother forget the infant at her breast, walk away from the baby she bore, that even if mothers forget, I'd never forget you, never. I like that passage. Some of you are mothers. Can you forget your kid? Will you ever forget your child? Now, men, I'm not going to ask that, all right? You know, I don't want to forget mine. You know, I'll remember mine. Grandkids are even better than the first round. Remember them, too. That God remembers us. So as you come to the table this morning, I want you to come forgetting you. And lose your focus. And lose your stuff. And lose your life. Because God's got you. It's at the table of the Lord. So what I'm going to do this morning is, we invite people to the Lord's table. These are symbols. The unleavened bread here is a symbol of the body of Christ. The grape juice is a symbol of the blood of Jesus Christ. They paint a picture for us to remember. And so I'm going to invite you in just a moment to come and take. Now, when you take, don't eat it right then and drink it right then. We're going to all do that together, okay? We're going to do that. I'll read some scripture. We'll do that all together. But I want to spend some time right now, losing our focus, losing our stuff, and losing our life so that God could have you. So I'm going to ask us all to bow our heads. I'm just going to ask you to prepare to come to the table, to prepare to share in the Lord's Supper. Every believer, everyone who's crossed the invisible line, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Can my life and take control is invited to the table. And have you forgot you? Or is life all about you? This is your time. So here's what I'm going to play some music. And while you're sitting there, whenever you're ready, I'll tell you when to get near the end, when it's time, if you want to get it. But I want you to get ready by losing your focus, losing your stuff, and losing your life in prayer to God. So I'm going to ask to play some music softly. Thank you. anyone else. Gave thanks and broke it. Would you bow with a word of prayer for me? Lord, we just thank you. We hold this bread in our hand, but our mind is set upon you. That you gave your life, and you died upon the cross, but the grave couldn't hold you, and you rose again. It is your grace that gives us life. We remember you today. He said, take, eat, this is my body. Then it says he took a cup. And he gave thanks and offered to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And he prayed. Would you pray with me? Lord, as you hung on the cross, the blood dripped from your face, from your side, from your hands, from your feet. The blood that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. That we are washed as white as snow. That our sins are cast as far as the east is from the west. That you have forgiven each of us, not because we are good, but because you are good. And we thank you for your grace. And he said, drink ye all of it. And he went on and said, I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine now until a day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Someday, we'll sit with the Lord and share this. His body will be real. Thomas said you could put your fist in his side. You could touch his hands. He's your Lord. He's your Savior. Thank you for letting me share God's word and share this time with you. In your worship folder is a little blue card. My invitation this morning is for you to pull that card out. Maybe there's a prayer need. Maybe there's a heartache. Maybe there's a question about something I said. Maybe there's some way we can minister to you. Maybe there's a commitment you want to make. God, I want to forget me and I want to focus on you. God, I want to lose my stuff. I want to lose my focus. God, I want to accept you. This is your chance to share that with me, for me to minister to you. So this is our invitation this morning. This is your opportunity. So I'm going to ask you to take that blue card out. This is my communication card. And fill it out. Let me know if there's something special there you'd like to say. Something like a minister or serve to you. I'm going to go ahead and invite our ushers forward. So they're going to come forward now. We're going to take our offering. You can drop that blue card in the offering bag with the gifts and offerings. And we'll give God the glory and the honor as we share it together.